Welcome back to A Slut's Guide to Happiness, where your body is perfectly imperfect, and it's safe to be as sexual, kinky, queer, or slutty as you want. Today I have the pleasure of talking with our friend Remy, who is one of the lead videographers with Cliff Media, our LGBTQ, BIPOC, and folks with disability-led community organization that produces some loving smut and lots of fun that we do here, that's also building community in a time where it feels more important than ever to have loving queer and trans-positive community. So today we have the pleasure of talking with Remy about some of their transitions, and I think that this general concept is something that we talk, that it's kind of one of the fundamental concepts that we're exploring in this podcast, is what does it look like to allow yourself to be what makes you most happy in the world, even if that's not the normative script that we're told that we should in quotations be living. So I honestly think it's really brave when I meet people who are going through the process of different aspects, whatever it is, in gender identity or sexuality or relationships or work or anything that they're doing in their lives, that are their intentional personal choices that are not just following the script but following their heart to happiness. So I'm excited to get to talk with you about that today. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I'd like to start with kind of the first time in your life that you can remember where your desires, whether it's sexual desires or gender identity desires or even just dreams for your future, were different than what your parents or teachers or society were telling you.
First time might be hard to pinpoint just because my memory is pretty scattered from my childhood, but definitely, as far as gender identity goes, I have always, like, looked and acted like myself and, like, mm-hmm. been myself, even to the point where my pediatric doctor was like, oh, I think that you should have been born a boy.
Wow, your doctor said that.
Yes.
How old were you?
I mean, probably just, like, 3 or 4 or something like that. Like, you know.
That's a pretty insightful doctor.
Yeah. Pretty good doctor, I guess. But in middle school, I identified as gender fluid for a while, and then I kind of just dropped that because mm-hmm. it was overwhelming for me at the time. Mm-hmm. And so then I just kind of let it slide for a while.
So there's a lot of pieces in that, and it's interesting that it started so early. Do you remember, were you told when you were 3 or 4 that the doctor said that?
I was told, yeah.
How did that land with you?
It didn't surprise me at all. Like, that, you know, checks out. I wish that, like, maybe there was more, like, of a positive in that, whereas, mm-hmm. like, in at the time, you know, 2005, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't exactly the right... Clever, you know, it still, you know, gay marriage still wasn't legal yet. And so, you know, my mom always thought that I was, you know, a lesbian or something mm-hmm. or this, but was mm-hmm. scared for me that I would never get a job or, mm-hmm. you know, like have a community or anything. Yeah. So she kind of, I think she also chose to like ignore it, and nobody was surprised like when I eventually did come out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that maybe if other people had paid a little closer attention to it too, I might have, you know, really doubled down on it instead of, you know, like getting like second thoughts with, you know, like when I told my grandma, like mm-hmm. very casually, like not even like something that I was assuming, like associating with a gender identity. Mm-hmm. I just was like, I don't like having boobs. So I told my grandma, like I was probably like 11 or something. I told my grandma, I think someday I'll probably like have like a mastectomy or something, or like top surgery or whatever. Yeah. I don't even think it was called that at the time.
Yeah. Like, I want to get this
out. And she like said something about like, oh, like, no, like you don't know the this, that, and the other, the consequences, something about like, you know, mm-hmm. hormones, like thing, you know, and they're uneducated. They don't know anything, but whatever she had said to me, because at the time that I trusted my grandma, I kind of was like, oh, maybe she's right. Maybe like, that's like something that I shouldn't mm-hmm. worry about right now, like something, you know, something that I should worry about in the future, and mm-hmm. just like little things like that, where it was like I was kind of pushed in the wrong direction a little bit, and I also like wasn't exactly motivated to run in the right direction either. Yeah. So it just put it off for 22 years.
Wow. I really relate to what you're saying, because when I came out as, I was like not sure if I was bisexual or lesbian at first, but I came out, my mom's response was very much like, your life is going to be harder. I'm sad for you. And I wish, I agree with that, that I wish there had been more positivity in that, like, there are things that are challenging and there's also things that are amazing and beautiful about being queer in the world. And like you're describing some of the challenges about being able to decide whether and when you could be your authentic self were related to the kind of feedback you were getting from people. When you were out as gender fluid in middle school, what was the kind of peer response that you received?
Definitely wasn't like exactly affirming. I mean, but, you know, even today people still have a hard time with gender neutral pronouns. So at the time it was like, you know, they were very new, like, you know, the whole stereotypical. I remember my dad being like, they is for multiple and like everything, like, you know, it was just very confusing for everybody for whatever reason. And so I definitely didn't, you know, like get like my pronouns respected or anything. And I also didn't have that many friends, so it wasn't like there was that that many people that like could do, like, I mean, all of my queer friends of course were like supportive.
You had queer friends in middle school?
I was in the Gay Straight Alliance. And my my high school class was more gay than straight. Like, we had like, I think they even like did the statistic and like we were like majority queer. Like, out of like 1,000 people.
I wonder if, you know, I generally tend to think that most people are more queer than they like allow themselves to be. I wonder if when you're in that environment and people start feeling like, oh, it's safe to do that, then people are more likely to come out than in other environments.
For sure. Like, you know, you'll have like somewhere in the Midwest has one gay person maybe, you know, and they're like really brave for that. And, or, you know, in other parts of the country, people will get beat up for that. And so, like, there's that aspect, too, of just, like, trying to be safe, or they don't want to get snitched on, or they don't want to get in trouble. You know, some people's families are from even places where it's considered even worse, you know, like, literally a crime. Like, if you're Slavic, you know, that's illegal. Lots of different perspectives, because, you know, California is a melting pot, and so there's, it comes from different places. Obviously associating yourself with the people that you like fit in with most will help, and it was a really big school, so you know, smaller schools it's harder to get away with stuff.
When you were choosing this, like, I'm really glad to hear that you didn't experience the kind of violence that maybe in other locations people do, but also I imagine, and this is, you know, assumption I want to ask about, is that there's some degree of like difficulty that comes from trying to identify yourself in a way that other people are not immediately identifying. Like, you have to choose to express that. What was important to you about that? Why were you emotionally committed to doing that?
At the time, I mean, it just felt right, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I had, like, you know, like, learning, growing, learn about what this is, like, learn about gender queer, probably through Ash Hardell's book was like ABCs of LGBT that I got when I was in middle school. Or maybe high school, I don't know. That timelines are weird for me, but teaching about like the binary and the scale and like, you know, everything and like learning about it, and then I was trying to find where I fit on that scale. But I mean, I did get bullied. I just didn't know I was getting bullied. So then
Tell me about that. What do you mean?
Like, I don't know like what you know it is, but like I just don't like see the bad in people that easily. So like when, if someone's making fun of me, I'm laughing with them, you know, because I don't see it as the same thing, or like, or I'm just not reacting because I don't get it, right? Like they're saying something mean, but it just goes right over my head. So I'm like, okay. And then obviously, you know, they're looking for a reaction. So eventually that gets old.
That's an incredible response. That's something I try to teach my daughter too. That's like the best way to de-escalate bullying is to be like, sounds like a you problem. Right. but that's amazing that you were able to kind of hold on to yourself, and you had access to resources like the book and friends and GSA. At what point since we're kind of rolling in the gender identity and there are other pieces, I do want to touch on, but in this genre, you mentioned, was it 22 that you, something happened in your life? What changed that?
I was in a relationship with a trans woman, and mm-hmm. I was like, just, we were just talking, you know, talking about life, as you do. And I, you know, was explaining what I was like feeling and going through, just like the anxiety, that, like the constant anxiety, constant depression, like not feeling comfortable, like at all. And,
in your body?
Or? Well, I didn't know at the time. Like, I just was like, everything sucks. Okay. I was just like, everything sucks.
Uh-huh.
It's miserable. And, and she was like, well, like, I don't know, like when I started HRT, like a lot of that brain fog went away, and it was like, oh, it's a chemical imbalance. Like, you don't have the right hormones that you're meant to have. So your everything is going to be that much harder to, and she was right. Like, I started HRT like 2 weeks later. I always used to be anxious driving because I'm scared of car crashes. Mm-hmm. And so I would just be like a chihuahua while I was driving all the time. And, like 2 weeks after starting, I was like driving and I was like going to work and I was like, hold on. Like, I'm like totally calm right now. This is crazy. Like, it was like a kind of like a moment of like, oh shit, like, I guess I made the right choice here. And, and from then, it's gone. Okay.
That's really interesting to me, because one of the things I've been talking with people about is kind of like the way that gender is socially constructed and how is it related to like your gender presentation and the way that you fit into socially. But also, I'm hearing you describe that there's a biochemical component of it for you.
Yeah. I mean, I genuinely think that, like, I mean, obviously, this is how I always get on politics. But you're talking about, like, the definition of, like, gender, right? That they've just created, and how it technically makes everybody female. Because you start off all female. So I'm thinking what happened here is that just missed that step of switching over that chromosome or whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm not a biologist, but that's entirely possible, especially considering we don't do enough research or on gender and our bodies in that way, and neuroscience or any of that stuff. Honestly, we just focus on the wrong stuff with science. Whatever's going to make the pharmaceutical companies the most money is what we focus on.
So you started taking HRT, you start feeling less anxiety in general. You mentioned driving, but how did it impact other areas of your life?
Yeah, in general, like feeling less anxiety. Like, you know, I mean, when I was younger, I definitely thought I was the shit and I had a lot of confidence.
Nice.
But I kind of lost it over the years, throughout like traumatic experiences and relationships, and like kind of definitely became pretty small, like internally. And it helped me like find myself again and find my confidence and like, like find my love for myself again, you know, which was diminishing pretty quickly before I decided to do something about it and give it a try.
I love that so much, because I feel like loving yourself is such a core part of happiness and quality relationships. So I would like to know a little bit more, if you can go a little bit deeper on that. What about your transition, like especially taking hormones that you're describing, was important to you that helped you feel like you could love yourself again, feel confident again?
You know, it's hard to pinpoint, because it does just feel like sometimes, like, it just, like, it's hard to express. It's like, you know, like, just like a feeling of joy that comes from somewhere that's like just so like unique that you don't have like any other way to like compare it to or describe it. You know, it's just like one of those like warm feelings that you just like hold on to, and you don't try to think about it too hard because you don't want to ruin it.
I get that. It's just like, this is what it is. It's good. Why question it? Lean into the joy.
Definitely, like it helps me with like obviously my physical appearance. Like, it changed a lot. Like, like the voice for sure is definitely something that I really wanted with it. And also like the more hair is something that I really wanted with it. Obviously I didn't want the acne or the whatever.
But, like, the puberty process.
But like for the most part, like, you know, as I'm still traversing the like idea of what it is that I do or don't want, like right, my perspective on whether or not I want bottom surgery kind of like fluctuates based off of like how I'm feeling in like dysphoric wise. And then also just the idea that like, I just don't like the way that they do it. And so if they find a new way to do it, I'm like there. So, and then when I think about that deeper, you know, you do something deeper, you're like, okay, but then I want it, right? If that's, if I'm thinking about it that way and I'm like, well, if it would like this, then I would definitely do it. Then I guess it means that I want it, but I'm okay with not having it for now, which is some, what I did with the rest of it for 22 years, which I'm not going to, it's not going to take 22 years this time. And I figured it out. Yeah. I figured it out sometime.
That's interesting. I feel a lot of you listening to your gut.
Trust in the process of life.
Do you mind if I ask if you had top surgery and how you felt about that?
Yeah, go for it. I did not have top surgery. I always was pretty small. I haven't worn bras since like seventh grade, but I think I was like a B, 36B or something like that. I don't remember. Just like always been small, and working out too helps. Like, you know, working out, I do like a lot of like wide arm push-ups, just like whenever, and dancing too, so that helps. But it does bother me sometimes, and I was binding for a while, and then I like realized I was like, that just outs me more. Like, there are cis men with, like, I don't remember the name for it. I know the, like, abbreviation of gyno, but, like, basically where they have breast tissue naturally, and that's just, like, a thing. And so, I'm like, the thing about, like, passing and stuff is confidence, right? Like, if you this is what I am.
Totally.
You can't tell me, like, you don't know. Like, so, like, that's, like, the secret to passing is to just be, like,
you walk through the world as a man.
Just imagine that you were raised thinking that you were God, and there you go.
Oh, I love it. Yes. Oh, there's so much, like, stigma against valuing yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you're fucking God. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing and beautiful. We can all be gods and goddesses.
Yeah, sometimes I'll get, like, oh, like, you're, oh, what's the word for it? You know, like, not modest or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you're overconfident or whatever. Like, you need to be humbled or whatever. And I'm like, well, like, that's the thing is that what you speak into the world is what you're gonna get back. You know, so like, if I, you know, even if I'm not feeling like I'm like the baddest ever that day, I'm still gonna like look in the mirror and be like, no, you're bad. Like, you got this. Put a smile on your face and you look 10 times better. Just, you know? So.
Yeah. However much you love yourself is how much love you get back in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do think that, like, love is hella underrated, because I think it's, like, the secret to happiness, or it's, like, it's really all you need is to find love somewhere in the world.
All right, let's go there. So, tell me about your initial kind of, it could be deep friendships or romantic relationships, like how you began exploring that process in your life.
Pretty early. My first girlfriend was in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a few boyfriends before that. But the thing with the boyfriends was that they asked me out and I said yes, because I thought that's what you were supposed to do. You know, like, I was like, all these other little girls around me are like in these little middle school relationships that, you know, I was like, well, I don't understand it, but they asked me and I decided to say yes.
Going back to the script.
Like, right.
I guess that's what I'm supposed to do.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Hiding in plain sight. But obviously the second that I like had a girlfriend, I was like, oh no, this the stuff. Like, that's it. That's right.
Yeah.
And definitely like focused on being the gayest I could be.
Because at this time you identified
as a lesbian. So I was just like, and that's also where like the confusion with the gender came too, is there is like, am I just a big dyke, or like am I like actually like more than that? And I was just like, I'm just gonna be the gayest I can possibly be, and that'll be good enough like for now.
You rolled in dyke energy.
Yeah. So my first girlfriend, we were something, you know, like we dated for like a year. It was great. Had a great time. Her parents were like, she was the first generation Vietnamese American, so her parents didn't like me. No surprise.
Uh-huh.
We were sexually active too in seventh grade, and then after that relationship, it just kind of went on. I was kind of a player. Like, when I was younger, I definitely broke some hearts and like. And obviously I'm still friends, and like, I've apologized to the people and stuff, because like obviously, you know, you live and you learn, and
I'm interested in knowing more about that. Can you tell me about when you say player, is that kind of slutty? Is that like promising people things and then they didn't work out, or what do you mean there?
I think like to me, I like it, it didn't come off that way. Like in my mind, I was just like doing my best and like being honest, because I'm just like such an honest person. And so like you know, like for example, like telling someone that I wanted to break up with them because I wanted to be single for the summer. It's not exactly what you're supposed to say, but it was the truth. Yeah, so sure. Like, and then that comes off as, you know, obviously she got mad at me and like and like I was like, oh shit, you know, like I didn't mean to, kind of thing, where it's like you come off some type of way, whether you mean it or not, that doesn't really matter, because what you know it's out there now. The feelings have been hurt, the this, that, the other. So like all you can do is like learn from that and then apologize and like grow.
But so, you were advocating for your own freedom.
Yeah, like, definitely.
I won't fuck around this summer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and what, cool. You know, why shouldn't I? I mean, that was my, literally I gave her all the reasons. I was like, we're young, I like this, that, you know, I was like, whatever, but I mean, obviously I wish that I would have been a little more kind. Everybody could use a little more kindness.
Totally. I had a lot of moments like that in my chaotic early relationships, for sure. How were your parents responding to this? Like, your lesbian relationships, your gender exploration?
When I came out as gay, I mean, I didn't even really come out. I just was like, I'm going out with my girlfriend, bye. And they were like, okay, cool. And they were, like, super fine with it. Like, my, like, girlfriend stayed over. Even I had a girlfriend. Later, after my first girlfriend that lived with us for a couple of years, even
while you were in a relationship,
school. I mean, that it was a lot more complicated than that. You know, like her parents were drug addicts, and so we were kind of like, you know, giving her a safe space and everything. Yeah. But yeah, they were always really cool about me being gay, and then. That's why I was so surprised when I came out as trans, and I got a pretty different response. Like, I got, from my dad, I got lots of, like he was like, upset. He's like, I'm mourning the loss of my daughter.
Like, I'm right fucking here.
I was like, I'm the same person, like, this, that, and the other. He was like, I spent so long picking your name out, I should get to pick your new name if you're going to change it. And I was like, well, I'm not a pet. And he was like, yes, you are. And I was like, no, I'm not. And he was like, well, like, how will you ever find love? And I was like, because I'm not, like, super old and straight. And he was like, well, I don't think I could handle you going in for a surgery like that. And I was like, well, good thing that I won't tell you what I'm doing with my genitals and you'll never have to worry about it. Like, all this, I didn't even ask, too. Yeah,
you know, falls under none of your business.
Right, just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he was just providing the information with you. He just wanted to share his frustrations.
Right, and, yeah. I didn't even ask. I asked him if he fed the cats, and that's what I got. And it was just so weird to me because he's crying. I didn't understand. I was like, I'm the same person. I've always looked like this. Like, this is just me. And he even went as far as to say that if I had asked him to sign off on this when I was 16, that he would not have. And I was like, why do you even make a point to say something like that?
Right. Yeah. You are not 16.
Right.
You are able to make your own damn decisions as an adult. That's interesting that he had the mourning response. It even said that. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, I know it's tough because also I imagine that was really painful for you, but I'm wondering if, you know, if there's a little bit space now where you feel like, do you have ideas about what he might have been going through? Like, why that came up as sadness for him?
Honestly, I don't really have any idea. I think maybe he's like misogynist. I don't know, like maybe he like liked having a daughter because he's like kind of like a control guy, so maybe like he's like in his mind, you know, like daughters are easier to control. And also, like, I don't know, I mean, you know, obviously you get into like thinking deeper about things and you're like, it's weird because I have a lot of like I'm like avoidant with my trauma. Like, I just block it out, and all of my like childhood stuff, like, I don't really remember a lot of it. And actually, like, the girlfriend that lived with me, I was talking to her the other day, she told me something I didn't ever know, was that my cousin had threatened to rape her and my other ex. And they like went to the school and they like tracked the IP, or like the police or whatever, tracked the IP, and they found out that it was my like cousin that I grew up like playing with. And then I was thinking, and I was like that kid could have totally been messing with me, and I was just like, and I just like don't remember. So like things like that, where it's like that, I definitely don't have any recollection of any sexual abuse in my past, but like it's possible that it's there. And the reason that I bring this up is because I had to, when I was like 20 years old or 21, I had to like ask my dad to stop smacking my ass.
Oh.
Like, I was like...
And he was doing it in a playful way?
Right, yeah. Like, yeah. It wasn't, like, a spanking or anything. It was, yeah. like, I would walk by and he'd smack my ass kind of thing. And mm-hmm. I'm like, so, like, I, you know, obviously I'm like... And then I choose not to think too deeply about that kind of thing because I don't want to unlock some sort of, like, something that I can't put back away that I don't have any idea of, you know, how severe it was because, like, I was wrong the first time when I, like, was trying to recollect how bad it was. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, like, it was bad. Like, I got, sure, I got, like spanked, but then, like, you, I think about it more and I'm like, no, I was beat. Like, not spanked. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's a difference in the severity and... Yeah. And everything, and, like, the context and everything. And so, like, as I get older and obviously I learn more about, like, different families and different relationships and what yeah. love looks like and what I grew up thinking love was and all that, it, like, definitely is, like, a maze that I'm, you know, like, unpacking and yeah. and running through and trying not to go down the wrong corridor that's gonna drop me down a pit somewhere. And like when I'm, you know, because as much as I would love to like heal and grow, you can't do it all at once. You gotta like really? Take it super slow and like yeah. at a pace that you can handle. You'll lose your mind.
Yeah, it's so true. Our jobs are not healing. It's at our pace and when we're ready. And and also my experience, what I've heard from other folks, and you kind of in some ways experience this in my personal life too, is like when you grow up in an abusive environment, when you're taught from your primary caregivers that that's how love feels, it can take a long time to relearn a different way of being in loving relationships. Mm-hmm. Did that come up for you in your life?
Yeah, it did. Definitely, you know, because you seek out what you know. And so when I was getting into relationships, I was kind of like almost allowing like stuff that wasn't obviously I knew wasn't right to happen because whether I thought I deserved it or I thought that's what I wanted or what I needed or whatever it was going on in my head, or if that's just because that was the pattern that I would, like, you know, the groove that I was already in, so it was easy to, you know, like object in motion mm-hmm. keeps going in motion. So yeah, I got myself in a lot of trouble and sticky situations, you know, like having to do with relationships. You know, getting myself like kidnapped and hurt and
like physically abused.
Yeah, a little bit. And for the most part, like the craziest part was that like there's always witnesses and mm-hmm. they always keep their mouth shut. You know what I mean? Like even my mom was like, so like I was this one, the one that was like really bad, like, then the reason that I moved back here, mm-hmm. she was like freaking out because she figured out that I was leaving because mm-hmm. I had like planned. I was literally coming here the next day, and mm-hmm. she figured out. She convinced me to get in her car to like talk and like whatever, and then I like we talked for a while and it's all fine. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go home now. And she like starts driving towards the freeway, like the complete opposite direction, mm-hmm. and. She chases, like, I run out of the car, she chases me all the way home, and I'm sitting in the house with the door locked, and I'm on the phone with my mom, and I'm like, can you, like, use the Ring camera to tell her to go away, and that she's gonna call the cops or whatever. And my mom said something like, this is your problem, basically, like, you need to fix this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, but I don't know what to tell you, like, I can't make her go away, like, I already tried. She was, you know, it, and then she kept banging on the door and screaming and whatever mm-hmm. for, like, 30 minutes until my mom was finally like, oh, like, my neighbors. So then she finally was like, I called the cops, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Wow.
But, like, yeah, for her to be like, no, you, like, this is your mess you've gotten yourself into, and to not, like, think, like, oh, well, the whole reason that I kept... like going to her was because I didn't want her coming to me and in my neighborhood and messing with my life. So like it like seemed like I was choosing this, but like really it was just I didn't know where. I was too scared to leave or go anywhere else, so I didn't know what to do other than that. And I was only 19 too, mm-hmm. and she was 27, and so she just like had this like obviously like manipulative grip on me that like yeah. you know she knew what she was doing. Mm-hmm. Probably wasn't her first rodeo. Yeah.
Still figuring out what relationships look like, what you want, what yeah. you are as an adult in the world, and That's a really vulnerable time. But you escaped.
I did. And it actually helped me figure out, like, the non-monogamy thing, because part of why, like, what was so upsetting to me about, because, like, that's like the thing, like, when people bully me, it doesn't upset me unless something actually upsets me. Like, so, like, I don't like being accused of lying, because I don't lie. And so she would constantly accuse me of cheating. And the worst part was she was accusing me of cheating with men. I was like, what are you talking about right now? This is crazy. It made me so mad. And since then, I'm like, yeah, I will never be with someone that has that type of like jealousy. And obviously, I learned later that the reason that she was accusing me of cheating was because she was cheating. And like that
deflection
pops out. Yeah, for sure. But it would just drove me up the wall. And now I'm like, never monogamy again. Never. Can't do it.
Okay, so how did you come out as not monogamous? What was that process?
I mean, that started like pretty slow. Like, like just trying to like get myself out there, like going to Sanctuary for the first time was definitely like a big step, but then it was also a step back because the first night I go to Sanctuary, I meet a girl and I immediately get into a non-monogamous or a monogamous relationship with her.
Wait, you went to a sex club to get involved in non-monogamy, and the first day, that's a lesbian U-hauling right there.
It was very that. It was like 3 months. We were already talking about moving country. Like it was like crazy, and then I mean obviously like it's all too good to be too just evaporated, but that's fine, it happens. And it was obviously a distraction, and I fell for it again, and I was like, okay, universe, I won't fall for it again, like I'm get it, I got it. And I need to learn these lessons, because sometimes I need to be told a few times to really like stick it in there.
Did you, so then since then, have you had any explorations with non-monogamy that felt good, or are you still kind of exploring what that might look like in the future?
Yeah, I mean, like obviously like exploring things and people, but like also figuring out what I like, like, especially, like, as far as my sexuality goes, because, like I said, I was just so focused on being, like, the most lesbian ever, and I'm, like, obviously, I can identify as whatever I want, and I can still be a lesbian, but, like, that process of, like, well, I never really gave dick a chance, so maybe I should give it a few shots, and, like, see what I think, and, like, different types of, you know, like, relationships that have to do with that. Like, I've noticed that I don't really like sleeping with, like, straight or cis men, but it's very gender-affirming for me to sleep with, say, a gay couple, but, like, it's definitely not because of the dick. It's because of more than that, and so that's why I've, like, being, like, oh, well, I definitely should be more careful and selective with like the emotional strength that I give towards maybe like more masculine energies, just because I like have trauma associated with letting that get too far of like just like being like, okay, well, they're pursuing me, and so then, you know, like I'll just accept it because you know, like, I like attention.
And it sounds like there's some desire to hold on to your autonomy and defining yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Especially as far as, like, the gender stuff goes, with me not really knowing what I want to do with my bottom. And, like, because, like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, right now I'm, like, feeling extra dysphoric about not having a penis. And sometimes it doesn't bother me at all. And, you know, sometimes I like using my vagina, but like it's, you know, so it's very like all over the place. But part of the one that gets me the most is it will feel like an open wound. Like that's what like it feels like inside. Like
your vagina like feels like an open
wound.
Right.
Like
that
it just
wasn't
feels
supposed to be there.
Right. Yeah. But it doesn't, it's not like I think that it's ugly or like it's like gross or whatever. It just like it doesn't, like it feels like, like if you had like a pimple, you're like, this is a foreign entity. Like I don't, like I want it to be gone, you know, kind of thing. But then like other times I'm like, oh, it's like, it's nice to have that. But
could you have it all?
Right. Can I have it all? Maybe.
Yes, please. Cool. So you kind of went through all of these processes of unlocking, like, I can be lesbian, and having friends in GSA was really important for that, it sounds like, and kind of that affirmation from community, you could be slutty, even if, like, you're looking back and you're like, I wish that I had been more, changed my communication style, still, like, you were affirming that you wanted to have less of sex or whatever, and, you know, now it sounds like some of your abusive situations were attached to the, like, perceptions of monogamy, and so now you're exploring non-monogamy and potentially what that looks like for you.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, I've always been, like, I'm just, like, a person that has so much, like, love to give, you know? And, like, I'm also, like, I'm, like, the kind of person, like, if you allow me to fall in love with you, like, that's it. Like, I am in love with you for the rest of life, like, period, point blank, like, it's over. So,
you're a deep romantic.
Right. Yeah. So that's, like, something I have to be careful of, like, because I do get, like, you know, I get the tunnel vision and, yeah, you know, yeah. I get, like, super, like, excited, but then I forget that, like, the faster things start, the faster things end. Mm-hmm. And I need, you know, take time, and, like, what actually builds a good mm-hmm. relationship and, like, a caring and loving relationship is taking that time to get to know each other and become friends first,
yeah.
and everything around that, instead of just being immediately obsessed, getting a tattoo of their lips on your body after seeing them for 2 weeks.
Wait, are you talking for
I'm talking about this. Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love it.
So... Yeah. And that was the one I met at Sanctuary. So it was just like I go in for one thing and I come out with something completely different. Mm-hmm. But I come out with a learning experience, and yeah. like I definitely don't regret it. That's like yeah. the thing is like that keeps coming up when I keep unpacking all this stuff. Is like mm-hmm. I'll like get really mad about something and I'll be like, oh, that really sucked.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, okay, but I don't want to change it. Like I don't regret it because I learned this and this and I met this person and I this sure. and that, and you know, like I had a terrible time in Alaska, but I met mm-hmm. one of my best friends ever, Jenna, there.
Aww.
So you know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I would never change anything in my life because I wouldn't end up where I am right now. And I'm, like, very happy to be a part of this and yeah. to have met you and everyone else and mm-hmm. have such lovely friends and chosen family. And,
I love hearing that you gave yourself space to keep exploring. Like, maybe I'm a little bit pansexual, or maybe I'm monogamous, maybe I'm not monogamous, who knows? Kind of, like, exploring those things. And that's really beautiful, because I think that there's this narrative that we have to be consistent and, like, choose your lane, and otherwise you're confused. And it's like, actually, we have lots of room to play and explore in life.
Yeah. So, it's like, choose your character, but, like, you can have several rounds. Of the game.
Yeah.
You play totally, a new character.
Yeah, life is long.
Yeah, very long, unfortunately. That's that dark humor. That's where that comes out from.
Yeah. Right. Oh, sometimes that can be really healing.
Yeah. Definitely. Obviously, that's my, like, my coping mechanism for sure is humor and laughter and mm-hmm. making people smile. I like seeing people smile.
Yeah, I've been feeling that a lot this week, seeing little ways that people smile and find joy in spite of the hard shit. That's power.
It's definitely stronger to be able to, like, look at things and say, you know what, that's not great, but I'm gonna make the most of it, and I'm gonna be honest about it, mm-hmm. rather than the people that are, like, pretending, like, it'll be all right, mm-hmm. or it'll just fix itself,
mm-hmm.
if I just, you know, put my shades on and focus, you know, on myself, like, well, we're a community, like we're a people.
Yeah.
I mean, at least we used to be a people together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Holding the grief and the fear, and also allowing there to be two truths. And so holding the joy too, and taking care of each other.
Yeah. And like people, you know, they're both can be true, right? Something can be right and wrong at the same time. And people kind of often, like, don't look in between the lines. They just get stuck on the hard lines and say, no, this, like, you can't be right because I'm right, or whatever the Matilda thing is, like, I'm big, you're little, you're right, you're wrong, you're dumb, I'm smart.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's one of the things that I relate to about the word slut, is, like, it can be different kinds of romantic relationships. There can be fucking lots of people, and really it's like whatever you want to do, as opposed to having to follow some narrative.
It's actually really funny because, like, my whole life I didn't know where I belonged or fit in, and I'm like having this epiphany, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm a hoe. I didn't realize it until now.
Yes. And hoe can be an entirely gender neutral, like, universal term.
That's my click.
Yes. Remy, thank you so much for sharing both the vulnerable and the joyful, funny things of your life. This has been another edition of A Slut's Guide to Happiness with your host, Vanessa Cliff, and our amazing guest, Remy. If you are over the age of 18, you can find some of our video content, including some of this hot person tied up in one of the scenes. That was pretty fun. In a vampire scene, on our website, cliffmediaproductions.com. If you are able to like, share, and download this podcast, that would be a big help for us to share the message of sex positive, inclusive love and freedom. And most of all, I invite you to join us in the pleasure of being awkwardly human, naked and without pretense. Let's get free.